Hanover Horton Superintendent of Schools, John Denny, joins us. Crazy times, John.
It is. You know, just long for the ride.
Wow, so much so much going on. Are you a fan of Zoom meetings?
I've had my fill of them. You know, at first they were kind of a novel thing, and, you know, it was pretty cool. And, you know, it's definitely one of those I look forward to being able to sit in a room with people again.
Well, you got had two events just recently. You had the groundbreaking out there for the new facility. Talk about that.
Yeah, we're really excited about it. Last year, our community supported us with a just under $5 million bond. And one of the big focus areas was trying to create more space for all of our kids to be able to participate in athletics. That with the expansion of the youth programs and then, you know, the switch of the seasons a few years ago, we have some of our youth kids are showing up at 9 o'clock on a Sunday morning to practice because that's their only slot they could get the gym. So we broke ground last night on a new practice facility. I'll have two full basketball courts, a couple batting cages, a couple volleyball courts, storage for all the mats and the different sports for that.
Much needed, right?
Yeah, because neither one of our existing high school or middle school gym are big enough to run two courts at the same time for basketball. So our normal gyms are open. We're using them until 10 o'clock at night through the school year. So sure. It'll be nice. It'll make a big difference.
Now we just got to get teams to put out there.
Well, hopefully by the time the gym's done, we'll be able to have athletics again.
Yeah, how long is that build?
We're hoping, I'm telling everybody around March, we're hoping that it's done sooner than that, but, you know, send the deadline out there a little bit, but, you know, a lot of it will be weather dependent, you know, because you got to get the concrete in the ground first before you can put up the steel structures. So the concrete and brick guys, they
should have a field day this week.
They should. We're looking forward on Monday. The excavators will be in and start tearing everything up.
Okay. Then you had your graduation.
Yeah, that.
How did that go?
We were thrilled. You know, it was one of those that we've used the Potter Center, our district has, for like 20 years. And I can go in and pretty much close my eyes and run a graduation anymore. And the details you have to plan on when it's outside and you've got everybody in cars and you're trying to keep...
A little different.
Keep everything in restriction as far as 100 people out, and, but it went really well, and you know, it was a big thanks to everybody here, you know, with Jamie and Scott and Steve coming out and getting everything set up to broadcast it. We had the parents were all in the cars listening to it on the radio while we were up handing out the diplomas. It turned out great. It was a beautiful day for it. It was nice to. We were hopeful that we could do something that would allow that class to gather as one full group again. A few of the kids weren't able to make it due to conflicting schedules, but no, it was a good time and a nice way to send them off.
Yeah, you had a great class that passed through, you know, high school basketball class that probably was a threat to win the big trophy.
Yeah, I know that.
That was too bad.
It was. And, you know, really we had that class as a whole. I didn't realize it until we went to, you know, do all the cumulative stuff at the end. We won as a class. They won like 21 conference championships, 6 district, 10 regional, 3 state. You know, we had Jack Brocky, who won the state title in golf as a junior, wasn't able to defend it. And actually our boys team would have been up there in the mix too. They were just a all around great group of kids. And, you know, dominant and everything. They were, you know, it was looking back at I remember my senior year of athletics. You know, it's definitely one of those I feel for those kids and, you know, for all the kids that lost out on those lasts.
So how was the distance learning experience out in Hanover?
It was a struggle with one of the big issues that I keep hoping to hear more about is the connectivity that you get out of the main areas that have the good cable internet connection. We're at about a 50-50. 50% of the kids have internet and 50 don't.
Yeah, even on a good day out there, Communication can be difficult. You know that. You've been out there a long time.
Yeah, it really depends on...
And you're... what's funny is, and I've always said this for years, as the crow flies, you're, I don't know, 3 or 4 miles from the radio station. You're not... It's not like you're out in the boondocks.
No. And, you know, it's one of those things where there you could... I don't know how many times I'll drop a call in a spot that I was able to go through the day before and it worked.
Yeah.
So that's one of the things we really, you know, as we're looking at planning ahead, is trying to figure out how we can kind of bridge that gap of connectivity. You know, what kind of options there might be and how we can, if we have to go back to some kind of a distance learning bit, make sure that the kids are able to get a good interactive experience with it. You know, we did what we could. When it got sprung on us in April, and
sure,
you know, we kind of, a lot of us kind of borrowed that tagline of, you know, compassion over compliance, and we knew there's a lot of stress for the kids and we didn't want to overwhelm them moving forward. You know, if we've got to go that route, it'll be a little different, story as far as the rigor that's involved.
So the new plan is out. What are your thoughts?
Still trying to digest it.
Yeah. It's a lot.
It is. And, you know, with right now, you know, everybody focused on what it would be if we were still at stage four. And as we've learned in the last 6 weeks, a lot can change in 6 weeks. You know, but there's definitely a lot of the devil's in the details. You know, when you look at, there's a lot of parent concerns over the masks. You know, if we are required to have the kids in the masks, how many parents are going to keep their kids at home? You know, how's that going to work? And are we going to be able to get our financing figured out with kids not necessarily wanting to come back in? And, you know, who is paying for all the masks for the everybody? And, you know, just a lot of those, the little details that we got to figure out. And
are you surprised, John, that the masks are such a big deal?
You know, it really is surprising just how polarized, you know, the whole society's gotten over it, you know, and it's, you know, it's one of those things. They're not convenient.
Right.
But it's not the end of the world having to do it. And it's one of those that...
Rather have a mask than a ventilator.
Exactly. You know, and after seeing how quickly it can spread from people, you know, well, you were at that game.
Yeah.
You know, and the amount of people
Scary.
That... The amount of people I've talked to that were there that complained about flu-like symptoms, and, you know, you can almost check the list, and, you know, it appears that I brought it home to my house.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
My daughter and I were both at the game, and we both had some mild things,
mm-hmm.
But my wife and son ended up pretty sick for, it was over 2 weeks.
Jeez. I didn't know that.
You know, at that time, the testing wasn't available, so unless you were in the hospital or a medical worker, you weren't able to get the diagnosis of it. But, you know, you talk to a lot of the families that were involved in the basketball team that night, they all had, or the majority of them had symptoms after that fact. And at that point, nobody was going to go to that game if they were feeling sick, you know, because there was enough edge in the air, but, you know, it wasn't. This stuff spreads quick.
That's a perfect example of the social distancing and getting together.
Yeah.
Because you had, 1,500 people packed in there like sardines.
And, you know, yelling and cheering. And, you know,
sure.
Like I didn't think anything about it when I sat down and talked to you.
Yeah.
You know, during the game.
Right.
You know, and at that point, it was kind of one of those things. It was on the fringes. It wasn't going to get to us. You know, but it is one of those. Once you see somebody that you know go through it and you are able to experience it firsthand, you tend to be a little more cautious.
Absolutely. So how did your teaching staff make out through this?
You know, it was hard for them. You go into teaching because you like interacting with people. And all of a sudden to not have that and then trying to change all your format up to be able to make it effective online, knowing that, you know, half your kids aren't going to be able to interact with you live, so you need to produce something that we can send to them in a packet. It was a challenge. They stepped up. They did a I am so proud of our staff for how well they handled everything. You know, the principal's keeping an eye on things and just keeping the balls rolling. But we had, you know, a lot of our, especially the elementary teachers, took a lot of time and went and did drive-bys of the different students' houses and made deliveries to them. And, you know, but that's part of that nurturing. You've got 25 kids that you're responsible for, and those become your kids. You know, at the high school, dealing with a few more kids makes it a little trickier. But, no, they were phenomenal. I'm very proud of how our staff handled it.
So if the governor called you today, John, and said, John, what do you think about sports this fall? Where are you going?
Oh, you know, it's tough. You know, one of the hardest things with this whole thing is you read a report of what science indicates they understand today, and then tomorrow or 2 days later, it'll be a little different. You know, I think football's going to be a tough one. You know, and even volleyball, which pains me to say that my daughter's going to be a freshman this year and loves volleyball. You know, you're inside in a contained environment. You know, and it's one of those, the hardest part is you're carrying it without knowing it. I think they'll come up with something that'll work. You know, I'm not 100% sure if they'll be able to pull, you know, the governor's plan, which is one that I know the MHSA has been talking about, a flip in spring and fall.
Yeah.
So you've got the outdoor sports.
What do you think about that?
Well, and, you know, at first glance, that sounds pretty good. I was talking last night with a good friend of mine who's a coach over at Napoleon and cross country and track. And his concern is the fact of the spring kids lost their complete season. Well, if you bring them in and all, you put them into the fall and you have to cut that season short, you just had a kid that lost their junior and senior year all at one time. So there's kind of that debate of, even if we have to step back a little bit, would we still be able to complete this, you know, those sports as well? And nobody knows. You know, when we got that order late on a Thursday night that we were going to be shutting down for 3 weeks back in March, I thought maybe the week after our spring break was scheduled, we might be off. You know, maybe it'd be a month, give it a couple of cycles, and we'd be back. So, you know, I've given up on my crystal ball. It's not working real well.
Then transportation's got to be a big issue, especially for you guys. You do a lot of traveling out there.
We do. You know, over the years, we've reduced the amount of runs that we make, you know, the amount of buses we put out on the road, and we fill the buses up pretty good. You know, part of the governor's order does state the fact that people will be in masks. Students need to be masked when they're on the bus. The drivers need to have a mask on, you know, which I think helps. Some of those initial CDC guidelines of, you know, like two rows of empty seats in between a kid on the bus, there's not a school out there that could afford to transport at that point. You know, now it is one of those two. You've got a lot of parents that drop their kids off. And that would be my guess on that, that a lot of parents would opt to bring their kids in. You know, but the buses, you know, you crack the windows. They've got the high seats now. I don't know if you've seen the new seats on the buses. I can barely see over the top of them.
Mm-hmm.
So you've kind of got that natural break there from a kid. But, you know, you got food service. You know, are we going to do bagged lunches and deliver them to classrooms? Are we going to be able to, you know, put them in a cafeteria? We're going to have to buy the little dividers to put everybody in. You know, there's a lot to sort through in the next few weeks.
Plus, it's expensive.
Yeah, they put the, I think it was $256 million that they set aside in the budget for it. And when I start doing a list of what our needs are going to be, and I know I'm one of many,
yeah.
And
that's not going to cut it.
And the supply.
Yeah.
You know, the run on Chromebooks and laptops over the last few months has been immense. And, you know, you look at the fact of a lot of the manufacturing being done overseas of a lot of those components, they're still not opened up. You know, so you got the supply chain issues that we got to deal with a lot of this. You know, it's
sanitizer.
Yes. That I think we'll be in good shape with. That there's enough of the, well, there's enough of the places now. I think they've been able, you know, you got the breweries that have switched over to making it. You know, definitely might be going to different suppliers for the product. But, you know, we've already had sanitizing stations in just about every classroom and around the building. Just this generation's a little more aware of it than, you know, I mean, I can't think of how many times I'd go out playing in the yard all day, grab and drink off the drink, you know, the garden hose and run around and run in and just grab something to eat.
Sure.
You know, or these kids, you know, moms have always had the sanitizer in a purse and, you know, wash your hands before you eat. And, you know, that's a big thing. If you are smart enough just to use this, you know, keep yourself clean and keep a little space, you can, you know, it really helps to minimize the spread of this.
John Denny with us from Hanover Horton. So the governor puts a plan out. Are you, what, building your own plan or two or three plans?
Yeah.
Maybe pick one in September?
We've got a committee that has started meeting, and it's made up of a combination of it's the three principals, myself, our school nurse, an upper L, lower L teacher, middle school teacher, high school teacher, and a couple of parents. And we spent time already reviewing what we did, what worked, what we think we could do a better job of if we needed to go back to a distance learning plan full time. And we're meeting Monday morning to start breaking down what the governor's plan is and what the restrictions are for us and to start brainstorming how we can implement it. You know, and trying to bend that, just trying to blend in that common sense of what reality is going to be, you know, because some of those are strongly recommended, some are required, some are just recommended. You know, what's going to work best for us? And, you know, our needs are different than some schools are going to be.
Sure.
But I do think, you know, the superintendents were meeting Tuesday. You know, so I'm pretty sure countywide you're going to see a lot of similarities in what our plans are.
Mm-hmm.
And it'll
That's
be that.
That's probably a good thing.
Oh, yeah, I think so. Especially when you look at, you know, just like you brought up earlier with the masks and so many people being on one view or another. You know, if one school decides not to wear masks and the other's going to enforce the mask thing, you're going to see kids switch one way or the other because of that. And, you know, the collaboration and collegiality among the districts and the superintendents in our county is incredible. And we lean on each other and we brainstorm with each other. The principals have been meeting all summer long trying to figure out how it's going to work because, you know, the elementary is going to have the easier time keeping the kids separated. You know, they're all in one group and all you have is your specials classes that you leave your room for. Middle school is a little easier. Because for the most part, you've got your sixth grade English, sixth grade social, you know, the kids can, you could pretty much keep the kids together in a pod. But then you get to the high school and you've got a freshman, you know, you could have about six different schedules out of that freshman class. So it'll be good for a lot of the high school principals to be able to talk through that. You know, and that's one of the things that we always, I personally encourage, you know, reach out, see, don't reinvent the wheel. See what somebody else has an idea that you know, is going to work for us. Let's take it.
That'll be a pretty interesting meeting on Tuesday, won't it?
It will, you know, and it's one of those, you know, as I'm sure you can understand, there's some strong opinions in that room.
A lot of ideas.
And, you know, it's just, I kind of tend to be one a lot. I'll just sit back and listen a little bit and just take the notes of the good and the bad. And, you know, we'll work through it. This isn't going to be one of those. I doubt anybody's going to roll a plan out by Friday. You know, my guess is it'll be closer to August by the time you really have the detailed nuts and bolts of what it's going to be. Just because of the fact July tends to be vacation month for a lot of the administrators. You know, the superintendents, most of us get a week or two, through the summer to take, but the principals, most of them are off for the month of July. So it's going to be some coordination of schedules to get it pulled off. But, you know, there's a lot of work through on this.
John, it sounds like for you, though, connectivity and masks are going to be two big issues. That might not be the same for, you know, Vandercook or whoever.
You look at, you know, like I've got to believe in Vandercook. If they don't have internet, it's available to them. You know, and you've got a lot of deals through Comcast and WOW right now where you can get, you know, $10 internet if you've got a student at home that needs it. You know, with us, it's not a matter of people not being, you know, able to pay for it. It's not there. You know, and the masks, you know, that's one of those where everybody's going to be dealing with that one. You know, for us, it's going to get down to the fact of how do we balance that ability of the, you know, just kind of a common sense approach while making sure everybody's safe. And everybody's talking about the student safety, you know, but I'm also concerned, you know, my bus drivers, my classroom aides, the teachers, the principals, secretaries, you know, there's a lot of adults in the building that, you know, a lot of our support staff tend to be in that, you know, a bit of that older generation that are a little more susceptible to some of this stuff.
Sure.
And, you know, the last thing you want to do is put somebody in a position that endangers them. And, you know, this is one of those where it's kind of one of those deals where every layer you think you get settled, you end up with another layer that you got to answer.
What about losing teachers? I know some districts are going to get hit hard. I don't know if that's the case in Jackson County, but some older teachers probably opt out to get out at this time.
I think what you're going to see is you're going to see a lot of teachers that have their time in that we're hoping to get a few more years in. Might end up just deciding that enough's enough. I do know of one that I'm friends with that decided to retire that ended up, you know, she had her 32 years of credit, but was going to go, she bought 5 years. So she was going to go and get to 30 years of teaching, 35 credit, and just doesn't like the online learning and doesn't want to mess with everything this year and just decided at the last minute, you know what, I'm done. I don't think that'll be too prevalent on our staff. We had quite a few retired this year. Mm-hmm. And those were all planned. They weren't COVID related, but, you know, we've already got a shortage in teaching, you know, to where it'll be interesting. That's, you know, definitely one of those in the next 6 weeks as things play out and people see exactly what, you know, what stage are we going to be at? That makes a huge difference. If we're up at five, you know, it's a little bit closer to normal. And I don't think that'll drive a lot of people out. If we're online, I think you're going to see a lot of people leave the profession over the next year.
Be interesting to follow. John, thanks for coming out.
Well, thanks for having me.
Appreciate it, and congratulations on the groundbreaking.
Thank you. We're excited about it. Be nice to see that come to life.
John Denny from Hanover Horton.